Wade Gershner with you on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. And we're pleased to be joined by Wendell Barnhouse. He's been on the show a few times before. Always enjoy having him on the show. He's with todaysyou.com. Check it out online, todaysyou.com. He writes there a lot about the Big 12. And lately, Wendell's been writing a lot about Big 12 expansion. Wendell, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well, and I'm shocked that we're going to talk about Big 12 expansion first.
We're too predictable for you. On second
well, hey,
thought.
You know, that's the hot-button topic.
Yes, it absolutely is. Well, and let's indeed start with Big 12 expansion. What's the latest that you're hearing with expansion, whether or not it's going to happen? Is there enough momentum for it to happen? And if there is, can the schools and the conference agree on what schools to add?
Well, to answer your first or your last question first, I don't know if they can agree because this conference has spent 20 years disagreeing with each other, so I don't know how that's really going to work out. I do think they want to expand, and obviously the key questions are two teams, four teams, and if they decide the number of teams, then they have to decide, okay, which schools we're going to bring in. So those are the tough questions. Now, I guess the most recent significant development potentially is that there was a story that came out last night that a number of LGBT folks are against BYU joining the Big 12 because of BYU has a stance against LGBT folks. So, you know, it's Big 12 expansion. Anything can happen. So you have basically something that would happen, particularly with the presidential campaign going on. You have a political topic coming in to where the Big 12 is being urged not to allow BYU because of some of the school rules that they have. And that's probably more significant than usual because of what's been going on at Baylor and some of the reports coming out of Baylor with some of the school conduct rules that Baylor has in place that may have played a role in some of the investigations for regarding the sexual assaults that allegedly went on. So, you know, it's another twist to the tale here, and whether or not the Big 12 will decide that that keeps BYU out, I don't know, but that's basically the latest quote-unquote big news that's come out about this whole thing.
One of the biggest problems, in my opinion, I'll see if you agree on this, is that the Big 12 to me, whether it was Dan Beebe or Bob Bowlesby, although I think Bowlesby's done a better job than Beebe did, is that this league continues, in my mind, to be reactive instead of proactive. And I point to, you know, recently as a few months ago, well, no, we're not really thinking, we don't want to do expansion. And then the next thing we know, ESPN and ACC announced a partnership for a network. Yep. And now all of a sudden, the Big 12 is talking about, well, now we're going to open up basically like open bidding. Who's interested in coming to our conference?
Right. Yep. No doubt. And I mean, anybody that's been around this conference since, you know, its inception, I mean, you know, in essence, it was a shotgun marriage because, you know, at the time, and again, it's always about television and money from television. And back in the mid-90s, when the very first big movement came about as far as conference realignment and television and conferences kind of breaking away and doing their own deals, the SEC signing on with CBS was kind of the first thing that happened there. And, you know, the Big 8 and the SWC were sitting there, and as separate conferences, they didn't have enough television sets in their footprint, and they weren't going to be making enough money. And, you know, they decided that, look, we have to somehow band together. And obviously it came about where eight Big 8 schools and four Southwest Conference schools got together. The Southwest Conference went away. The Big 8 went away. And you have this, you know, Big 12. And, you know, the other thing to kind of keep in mind, it's, you know, you can criticize the Big 12 because of that, but, you know, it sort of had to happen for those schools to survive, so they really didn't have much choice. Plus, you know, the other four power conferences have been around for, you know, decades. So, you know, those schools are used to being together. This is just a, you know, this is a 20-year-old league that's still having growing pains. But having said that, as a shotgun marriage, nobody was really happy being together, particularly the power schools. I mean, you had Nebraska and Oklahoma and Texas, and Nebraska didn't like Texas, and that's the reason Nebraska left. And now you got, you know, can Texas and Oklahoma coexist, and the other schools are just sitting around thinking, oh, please, please, everybody, let's all get together. You know, it's kind of like a family where the parents are always fighting.
Yes.
You know, it's just not a great situation.
No, it's not. It's not at all. And, you know, it's easy to throw out the word expansion, and then immediately people go, well, what schools are the best ones to mm-hmm. expand to? But it's so complicated. I mean, you and I could talk about this for hours. It is so, so complicated because, as you mentioned, you've got the power brokers in this conference, Oklahoma and Texas, and if they're not happy, your conference is in trouble.
Right.
And you, of course, you mentioned defections of Nebraska and A&M and Missouri and others. And the other thing is, as some people have described it, maybe it's unfair, but you're left with the scrap heap of schools to choose from. You know, Louisville wanted to be in this conference, and that didn't happen. And so, once again, we go back to the reactive term. But when you look at, and then you add in the TV partners in this thing, ESPN mm-hmm. and Fox, they
right.
don't like the idea of expansion because of the watered-down effect and the fact there aren't any big power schools that are out there to grab. And then you mentioned the political landscape with BYU and what came out last night.
Right.
And there's also the issues with Texas and the University of Houston and how they can work things out
yep.
there. I
right.
mean, this is a very complicated situation, is it not?
Yeah, exactly. And it's not so much where you say, okay, well, yeah, these two schools or these four schools fit best as far as athletics or as far as football. I mean, that's the, you know, of making any decisions, that's the simplest probable decision you can make. Now, it may end up in 4 or 5 years being terribly wrong, or it could end up being close to being right. I mean, as you mentioned, the Louisville decision, I mean, you know, they should have picked Louisville over West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And the TV partner suggested, no, you should go with West Virginia. I don't know which TV partner told them that, but I don't know if that person's still consulting with people, but they probably should have their license pulled, because
yes.
I think that was a mistake. But it goes to, and particularly the other thing to keep in mind with expansion, doesn't matter who Bowlesby comes up with, the presidents are going to make the decision, and that's where this deal with the BYU story that came out last night, some people may say, ah, no, that's not going to be a factor, but school presidents are much more concerned with the big picture, and again, particularly with this situation going on at Baylor, it's a much more sensitive topic. So, yes, and you have all sorts of deals as far as, you know, is it an academic fit? I mean, that's not the number one reason, but there are dozens and dozens of things on the list that they're going to look at. And so, yeah, it's very difficult to decide. And, you know, and getting back to your, you know, the TV thing, yeah, that's, you know, everybody's got to remember that when Nebraska and Colorado left and the Big 12 went from 12 to 10 schools, ESPN and Fox were very benevolent and said, you know what, we're not going to dock you money because you lost two schools. And you're going to be, you know, you basically have fewer conference games to televise because you have fewer teams in your conference. We're not going to cut back on that. We're going to keep paying you the same money. And so they did the Big 12 a solid back then, and now this new contract has the language in that there's a pro rata increase no matter what schools the Big 12 brings in. And, you know, I think regardless of anything, I mean, it looks like this is a money grab by the Big 12, because getting back to your thing with the ACC, the reaction was, okay, the ACC and ESPN are finally going to get this network up and running, and so the ACC is going to get this extra money. So of the five power conferences, the ACC is probably going to leapfrog the Big 12, and the bottom two are going to be the Pac-12 and the Big 12. So the Big 12 is looking, well, how can we get, you know,
right.
you know, back up there? So that's why they decided to reverse field again and expand, or decide that they're going to look at expansion. So, yeah, like you said, we could talk about this for hours.
Wendell Barnhouse at todaysu.com is with us on the Sports Ticket today, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. We're talking Big 12 expansion. A little bit, we'll preview the Big 12 football race and talk about what's going on on the field. And so Texas, Oklahoma, you have an article here on todaysu.com, and you mentioned Dallas Morning News had a report coming out, And they reported that neither Texas nor Oklahoma is currently interested in extending the Big 12's television contracts or the grant of rights agreement beyond 2025. So let's talk about Texas and Oklahoma and their role in all of this, because they are the keys. If one cookie crumbles, the whole conference probably crumbles. Some people look at that and say, Texas and Oklahoma, they maybe are going to ride this thing out to the end of the TV deal. ESPN's losing subscribers left and right. There's not going to be a great TV deal at the end of this thing anyway. And Texas and Oklahoma like to keep their options open. If they like to keep their options open like that, how in the world can the rest of the members of this conference feel comfortable that this conference is going to have staying power?
Well, they probably don't.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and, you know, it's really, I mean, if you want to talk about how quickly things can change, and I guess it's not that quickly, but, you know, consider that, you know, I mean, in 2007, Kansas was 12-1 and won the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's a competitive program deal, but things can change pretty quickly. And, yeah, by 2025, who knows what, you know, the cable universe is going to be like. Is everything going to be on Netflix or Amazon or Google or Apple TV? Or who knows what the landscape is going to look like then? And anybody that thinks they can predict it, I think, is crazy. I mean, you can guess and say, well, we think this is going to be how things are going to look like. And, you know, I think worrying about what's going to happen in 2025 is crazy. I mean, you know, you can't decide. Because basically, for Oklahoma and Texas, they'll have to have some place to go. Now, the question would be, at that point in time, is the Big Ten going to look at it and say, you know what, we want to get to 16, and we want to bring in Texas and, let's say, Kansas. So that would be their big play. And they would say, okay, we're going to bring these two in. Then the SEC would obviously counter and want to bring in Oklahoma and, you know, maybe probably Oklahoma State. Oklahoma's main problem is they're pretty much tethered to Oklahoma State.
Yep.
Oklahoma State's got to go wherever OU goes. Texas is much more of a free agent, obviously. But then, you, at that point in time, you know, will the Longhorn Network still be around then? There's 5 years left on that deal in 2025, but, you know, who knows? So if anybody thinks they can figure out and put all the puzzle pieces together for what's going to be going on in 2025, like I said, there's no way of knowing. So, yeah, basically, I think that's why it looks like a money grab right now, where the schools are saying, look, we're gonna get as much money as we can right now. There's no reason to say we're going to invest for the future. You know, it's kind of like playing the stock market and saying, look, what's going to pay us off the biggest right now? And let's invest in that stock and go for it. Will that stock still be working in 2025? Who knows? But, you know, for now, it's going to make us some money. So that's basically, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that strategy, because, like I said, there's no real way to know what's going to be happening. And worrying about whether Oklahoma and Texas stay around,
mm-hmm.
you know, I just don't think that's, you know, I mean, you're going to keep yourself up nights worrying about that for no reason.
There's lots of different points of criteria, I'm sure, in the Big 12 looking at who's going to be the best school or schools to expand to and to add to the conference. Now, one of the things that Dusty and I have talked about, we have some friends that disagree with us to a point, and it's kind of, I don't know if it's the disagreement. I think we all agree that geography might play a factor in some of this, but this is my opinion, and maybe you disagree with it, but to me, this is all about the almighty dollar. This is not about geography. If it were about geography, West Virginia wouldn't be in this conference.
Yep.
So to me, you look at the reports, you know, ESPN and Fox, without BYU, if the pressure politically comes down that the Big 12 says we're not going to bring in BYU, whether they want to come or not, and then suddenly, I mean, Houston, Cincinnati, that just doesn't get people excited, especially the TV execs, when we're talking about dollars. Memphis doesn't get you excited. Colorado State, South Florida, Central Florida. I mean, if you don't have BYU for expansion, what are you really adding to the table? And do they really try to worry about having a partner for West Virginia when it comes to geography?
I don't think so. I mean, I keep hearing this travel partner, and I haven't had the opportunity yet, but I'd like to ask, you know, Bowlesby or some of the athletic directors. You know, I think the travel partner thing comes from how the Pac-12 schedule is set up to where, you know, a team for basketball goes to Arizona and they play Arizona on a Thursday and Arizona State on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense for that conference because a lot of their teams are grouped. You know, they've got two teams in one state, like Oregon, Oregon State, Washington, Washington State. You know, that makes sense for that conference. Plus, the Pac-12 is really spread out. So, you know, travel partners made a lot of sense back when they were the Pac-8.
Right.
So, you know, but this day and age with, you know, first of all, you start making more money, then, okay, well, you can charter your teams more. You can, you know, where you're not flying commercial and you can get, you know. Now, is it, to me, the difference between a two-hour flight and a three-hour flight, you know, you're getting on a plane, it's not that big a deal, particularly if you're on a charter.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, so are there issues with travel? Yes. And you know, the whole student-athlete welfare thing, you know, that's kind of, they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. But, yeah, I don't think that it really matters. And that's where, you know, you throw in a school like Connecticut, you know, is that, you know, because they can supposedly bring in that, or they don't really own New York City, but at least it gives you, you can kind of plant your flag in that area of the country. You know, is that a reason to take a look at them? So, yeah, I think it's all about, you know, as much as you can TV, you know, eyeballs to try to make the networks as happy as possible because they're not going to be happy with this, with paying more money. But, you know, there really isn't anybody out there. You know, the last round of expansion, there were only two schools that went from being a non-Power 5 to a Power 5, and that was Utah joining the Pac-12 and TCU going into the Big 12. And if these schools that are remaining out there that the Big 12, you know, is looking at right now, if they were legitimate Power 5 schools, they'd already be in a Power 5 conference somewhere.
Exactly.
So, you know, you're really just picking over the leftovers. Now, and again, it's like, well, you know, we feel like we need to do this to get the extra money in the TV contracts, so they're going to do it. So it will, it's going to look like a mistake, you know, because the people are going to say, why, you know, and yeah, Houston, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense because Houston doesn't really deliver the Houston TV market. A&M and secondarily Texas are the two schools that really draw eyeballs in Houston. UH doesn't really do it. So, you know, like you said, there, you know, you can come up with one school and you can do the pro-con thing and there's going to be a dozen pros and a dozen cons. And that's it with six to eight schools. So consider the pros and cons for six to eight schools that are a dozen long for each one. So,
well, and there are supporters of some of these schools that would like to join the Big 12. I've seen it with Memphis. I've seen it with Cincinnati and some others that are making their case on why they would be a good addition to the Big 12. And I keep seeing the word potential. And which, you know, TCU football has done just fine here in the Big 12. And people said they'd be 4-8 and they wouldn't make it. And then they're a national championship contender. So who's to say that these schools couldn't do the same thing? But some of the things are thrown out there is, well, we're a good basketball school. I laugh at that because I respect basketball, but this is all about football, is it not? I mean, this is about money and football. It's way down the laundry list of criteria going, oh, they've got a good basketball program, because TCU didn't have a basketball program and they were still invited in.
Right. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it is definitely football driven. And, you know, the sad thing to me is that, you know, and I'm as big a basketball person as I am a football person. But the problem with expanding is you're going to do away with this round robin, which has been, to me, it's been great. It's a heck of an 18-game grind season, but it's been great for, you know, Kansas to play at Iowa State, you know, back and forth. I mean, Iowa State plays at Kansas and vice versa. You know, and if Texas is going to become what it should become under Shaka Smart, Kansas and Texas each year, home and home, is going to be great. But, you know, we don't know how the divisions would work out, but they could go back to the old style where, you know, Texas would play Kansas one game one year, and the next year Kansas is at Texas. So, you know, that's the other thing. And, again, that's not going to be a reason not to expand, that you're going to do away with the round-robin schedule, but it's going to be a detriment. It's just like, you know, I mean, I said this when the ACC got bigger to 14, and now with Notre Dame, they've got 15. Their scheduling in basketball is insane, and eventually they're going to end up going to 20 conference games, which is good. But, you know, the problem is that, you know, you've got, you just can't really schedule equitably. Your people are not, you're not going to play everybody twice a year. Same thing in the Big Ten, same thing in the SEC. And so, you know, there are, you know, every move has an equal and opposite reaction. And, you know, the problem is that, yeah, you expand and you take away from basketball, which is not, you know, that's not going to be a reason, but you eventually wake up to the fact that, damn, that was really fun to have the round robin, and now we don't have it anymore.
So let me ask you this, because I'm going back to something you said earlier that kind of caught my ear, and that was the Big 12 can't agree on anything. And,
right.
And so the first thing is, can they even agree on whether they want two or four?
That's a good question. I don't know. I really don't know if they can agree on it. And, you know, and even if they, I think that they'll look at it and say that if they go four, it's a blatant money grab because they're going to get more money. If they go two, it's kind of like, yeah, it's a money grab, but we're not being so, you know, obvious about it. So I, that's from my perspective. I don't know if that goes into their thinking at all. And again, like I said, you go to 14, you know, to me, 12 is really, you know, the magic number.
I agree.
And so you go to 14, you know, that just creates all sorts of difficulties in my mind. I mean, even football, I mean, the SEC is not really happy with its football scheduling. Nebraska has yet to play in the Big Ten. Nebraska has yet to play Michigan or Ohio State.
That's right.
And, you know, because of the crossover scheduling and divisions and everything, I think it's coming up in the next year or two. But, you know, so that, you know, I mean, Nebraska fans are kind of going, well, when do we get to play the big guys? So, you know, it's just I would assume that 12 makes the most sense. And again, that's the easy decision probably is how many. And I think they could probably agree on that a lot easier than they can agree on which schools to bring in.
Okay, so I'm going to give you the power here, and then we're going to move away from expansion. So let's say you're going to add two. What two would you choose?
I know. I keep getting asked this question. I really don't have. I know, because it's like,
I'll tell you mine. I'll help you out a little bit.
Yeah,
for me, BYU has to be one of them. Political stuff aside, we're talking football, TV contracts. BYU has to be one of them. That would make the TV rights holders feel a little bit better about expanding. And then my second one, I've been leaning towards Houston, but there's so many Texas schools down there. For me, the top three are clear for me. It's BYU, Houston, and Cincinnati, with BYU at the top of the list. And then after those three, I'll be honest with you, Wendell, I think you could throw them all into a hopper and pick out a name, because I can't make a strong case for anybody else outside of those three. I know people made a case for Memphis. I've heard Colorado State make a case.
Yep.
Central Florida's making a case. They won a BCS bowl game a few years ago against Baylor. I've even heard Boise State thrown out there.
Yep.
What would your pecking order be?
Well, I agree with the fact that it's, it's just a mishmash of who you could go with. And I mean, you know, like, you know, I brought up Connecticut earlier. You know, if you feel like you're going to be, hurting basketball by, you know, expanding, then why not bring in Connecticut to really boost basketball? But Connecticut is a heck of a long way from Dallas and Lubbock, and, you know, I mean, that's that. But again, we talked earlier, travel and geography probably don't matter into it. I will tell you this about BYU. The kind of inside scoop as far as BYU and their kind of reputation is when they left the Mountain West to go independent, I think there were some private parties in the Mountain West because they were happy that they left.
Mm-hmm.
BYU is kind of a... If people think that Texas tries to big dog everybody, BYU is kind of in that same boat. They kind of think that, well, you know, we want it this way. And you have to deal with the... I've never been a big fan of the fact that these guys can go, you know, they have 24 and 25-year-old offensive linemen because they went on a two-year Mormon trip.
Right.
And, you know, and again, you know, hey, that's a religious thing. And the fact they don't play on Sundays and the, you know, I mean, I wonder, you know, why do they get the dispensation for this? Just, you know, I mean, I understand the religious aspect totally, but, you know, it's why does it factor into this other stuff? So, you know, and they have their own network too, and
yes,
they have
do.
A network deal with ESPN, which I'm sure can be worked out. But I mean, you know, it's like nobody is. There's not one of these schools that aren't carrying some baggage that you need to get past. So, you know, I, Houston and Cincinnati for me, or maybe you go with the two Florida schools just to establish something down there, or you go with maybe Cincinnati and Connecticut. You know, who knows? I mean, it's
it's a crap
it's something
shoot.
To keep. I tell you what, I know you guys. It's a great talk show topic,
sure.
Because I mean, you can discuss it, and that's the thing. I don't think any, even the guys that are on top of this reporting and talking to, you know, sources that say this, that, or the other, they don't know what's going on, because the bottom line is, I don't think the Big 12 knows what's going on. They haven't figured it out yet. So anybody that's speculating on who's the top candidates, maybe it's close, but I don't think anybody knows for sure.
My prediction is this. I've come to this conclusion, is that I if the Big 12 can't agree on stuff, and they can't agree on two or four, how are they going to expand at all? I at the end of all this, I wonder if we're just kind of like when we were talking a few years ago how the Big 12 was going to fall apart. People are calling the demise of the Big 12. There's no way it's going to make it. It's not going to survive. And yet here we are a few years later, Big 12 still kicking, albeit controversially, but and maybe not totally together as a family. But at the end of this thing, I think we all could have wasted a lot of time, and so did the Big 12. I could see this thing ending where they don't expand at all. We go back the other way.
Well, that's a possibility, and that kind of leaves them with some, you know, basically with some egg on their face, because
sure. Well, they've had that before.
But then again, it's like, but yeah, and that's happened, you know, very often. And again, you know, it's like, you know, everybody can say, well, you know, the Big Ten made the right decision, or the SEC makes the right decision. I mean, everybody, you know, messes stuff up. Unfortunately, the Big 12 messes stuff up that's bigger. You know, I mean, none of the other major conferences have had anybody leave. You know, the Big 12, now, I guess Maryland going from the ACC to the Big Ten, you can kind of say that. But, that, you know, there have been very few of the major conferences that have had teams say, look, we're done with this, we're out of here. So, I mean, the Big 12 is always going to have that scarlet letter on their chest that people didn't think they wanted to be around them and, you know, left the party. So, but again, you know, you have to go through this process. You have to decide, you know, look at it and say, okay, is this worthwhile? And you gather the information, and a lot of this is going to be which schools are going to be willing to take the least amount of money to join the Big 12, because, you know, they're not going to be fully vested as far as the revenue sharing. So if, you know, Houston and Memphis or Cincinnati say, hey, you know what, we'll come in and you just give us a few million and we're fine. We're just happy to be here, and you guys can take the rest of the TV money and divide it up, and, you know, we're just happy to be here.
Always
your
walls.
Maybe that's part of it. Who knows? But, yeah, they could well come to the realization that, you know what, it's just not worth it, and let's just stay put and ride out the next 8 years and, you know, and see what happens, because, you know, the future is uncertain and the end is always near. I think that was the worst song.
Yeah, so. It sounds about right. Okay, let's talk about on the field here before we let you go.
Yep.
Big 12 football media preseason poll. Oklahoma is clearly the favorite, 24 first-place votes from the media. TCU had 2. They were ranked 2nd in the preseason poll. Oklahoma State 3, Baylor 4, Texas 5, Texas Tech 6, West Virginia 7, K-State 8, Iowa State 9, and Kansas 10. Oklahoma is the clear favorite, but who is TCU the biggest challenger, or there's somebody else knock off Oklahoma in the Big 12?
Well, yeah, that's a, you know, I don't know if Oklahoma has another challenger. I mean, you know, I think TCU, you know, they got to figure out, you know, who the quarterback is, and then even once they do that, you know, I think they have a lot of talent on the offensive side, but they've got some guys that were really huge playmakers that they've got to replace. They're also rebuilding the offensive line, which is something that always kind of spooks me when a team's got to, you know, replace 4 starters, I think it is. So, you know, but their defense is going to be really good, and when Gary Patterson's got a really good defense, they're always going to be a dangerous team. Plus, they get Oklahoma coming to Fort Worth. So, you know, who knows? They're probably the best candidate. you know, I don't think Texas is quite there yet, but I think Texas is going to be able to maybe win 8 or 9 games. You know, Baylor's kind of the wild card. They've only got 70 players on scholarship. They've only got, I think, 7 offensive linemen on scholarship. You know, their first team is probably as good as anybody in the Big 12, but their depth is really going to be a question mark. If they get any injuries on the offensive line, I don't care what kind of talent they've got at quarterback and running back and receiver, they're going to have some problems. So, you know, if for some reason they could stay healthy all season, yeah, they could kind of be a threat. But I basically think it's Oklahoma, and then, you know, 2 through 8, it's pretty much a toss-up. You know, then you've got basically at the bottom, you got Iowa State and Kansas. And, you know, Iowa State could, you know, move up into that group of teams that are kind of all mashed together there. But, yeah, I you know, I mean, it's really going to be interesting to see if anybody can kind of emerge to challenge Oklahoma. And if somehow if Oklahoma can get through non-conference play undefeated and go 3-0, I think, you know, they're really going to set themselves up for a great season. But, you know, to me, their non-conference is probably going to be the biggest challenge for Oklahoma this season.
Kansas State is always picked lower than they usually finish. Now, last year, I believe they finished 8th, but they had tons of injuries, especially at the quarterback position. Yep. Jesse Ertz is back and healthy, although he may not be the starter for sure. I know Huebner's done a nice job in spring games and camp. So what are your thoughts on Kansas State? And you just said, you know, 2 through 8, there's not a big gap. You could easily see K-State pick preseason 8, like usual, Bill Snyder, finish much higher than that.
Oh, sure, yeah. And, I mean, it's almost a, you know, it's become kind of a joke. And, obviously, you know, the preseason team is, or preseason poll is, you know, a media deal where there's about 30 or so that vote. I mean, I kind of wonder, when are you guys going to wake up, you know, and say, you know, why are we voting Kansas State 8th every year?
Right.
I mean, and they almost always outperform where they're ranked in the preseason. And yeah, you know, Kansas State's defense may be one of the best in the Big 12. And if, you know, obviously, as you mentioned, you know, with the injuries and the whole situation last year, you know, the offense really struggled. If they get that figured out, which I'm pretty sure they will, if Ertz is healthy, I mean, he won the job last year. You know, if he comes back and he's the starter, I mean, they obviously thought a year ago that he was worthy. You know, they basically, a quarterback this year for K-State, it's a repeat of last year. They had 3 guys competing, you know, for the job, and Ertz won out. And this year it's the same 3 guys competing. And, you know, we'll see if, you know, if it's Ertz again. But, you know, I think this Pringle guy is going to make a big difference as far as being a big play wide receiver. If he can kind of be the Tyler Lockett type guy that can, you know, that they can isolate and get deep and make some, you know, big plays, which they really didn't, you know, they didn't have a deep threat last year. And, you know, as when you see with a player like Lockett, you get a player like that can stretch the field, Bill Snyder's offense can really get some things done. So, yeah, I think K-State definitely is a team that could, you know, easily finish 2nd or 3rd, even though they're picked 8th. But, you know, you look at, you know, the contenders for that thing, you've got, you know, West Virginia is going to be pretty darn good on offense. They got to figure out some things defensively. You know, Texas Tech's got Mahomes, and if they can get any kind of a defense out there, they're going to be pretty dangerous. You know, Oklahoma State, you know, started 10-0, and they've got quite a few guys coming back. You know, so, you know, they're going to be a team that, you know, who knows, they could, you know, they could start off fast again and be there at the end of the season. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, other than Oklahoma, you know, the rest of the Big 12, I mean, you've got Oklahoma at the top, Kansas at the bottom, and the other 8, you know, throw a blanket over them and then, you know, see who sneaks out.
I was wondering when you're going to mention Kansas. Kansas did not win a game last year. David Beatty is in a really tough spot. It's a horrible thing he inherited there at Kansas, but I think he's probably the right guy for the job. Kansas this year, we got the kid from Alabama, right?
Mm-hmm.
They just got. That was a good get for him. What are your thoughts on Kansas, and do you think they can get a couple of wins this year?
Well, yeah, I think that, you know, they opened with Rhode Island, which is an FCS team that only went like 1-10 last year. So you would assume that they would win that game. And if they don't, that is going to be that'll be – I can't imagine them not winning that game. If they don't, it's just going to be terrible, because that's the one game everybody says, okay, you can end the losing streak. You're not going to go winless. You know, so they've got to win that game. You know, the other thing to kind of keep in mind with Kansas, I mean, last year they were basically an FCS team as far as the number of scholarships.
Yep.
They, you know, with the way Charlie Weiss brought in players and they left and everything, I mean, they did not have enough bodies at all. And so it's like an FCS team transferring to one of the best FBS conferences in the country. So, you know, you kind of have to give them a little slack and say, you know what, this is really a rebuilding situation. I do think he's bringing in more talent. I think there's more talent there. Everything I've read and heard, you know, the training and the weights and the off-season stuff, the guys are bigger and faster and all that, which is great. But, you know, will that translate into winning Big 12 games? You know, I don't know. But, yeah, the fact that a couple of Alabama guys decided to transfer up there, and they got a receiver who transferred from A&M, who's apparently a real speedy guy that might, you know, kind of be a playmaker as far as a receiver is concerned. The fact that they're being able to attract those kind of players, and I think, you know, Beatty is one of the more positive, probably the most positive guy you can meet. I mean, he believes he can get it done. So, you know, we'll just see. I mean, it was a little disconcerting to me that they have a lot of big staff shakeup in the off season. I think they've got five new assistants coming in. So, I don't know if that was just circumstance or what, but that's a little troubling that, you know, that happened. So, yeah, I mean, if they go 1-11, but they're more competitive, that's the other thing. I mean, I think they average like 12 points a game. They've got to at least show that, hey, we're at least competing. You know, they can't be getting beat, you know, 45-10 in all the Big 12 games. They at least have to be competitive and show some progress. And if they do that, then I can say, okay, you can say that they're in the right direction.
Yeah.
So that's basically, I think, what this season is going to be. Get a win and then show that you're better.
Absolutely. Time for an off-the-wall question, Wendell. What is something you wanted to do as a child, but your parents didn't let you do that you would like to do today now that you're an adult? So it's something that you weren't allowed to do as a child, but you would love to do as an adult.
Okay, well, it wasn't that they allowed me to do it, but they didn't give me the proper DNA gene pool, but I would probably want to play shortstop. I was a big St. Louis Cardinals fan, and I always thought I would be the Cardinals shortstop.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I would like to do.
Well, that'd be all right.
But it's not my parents' fault necessarily, but, you know, that would probably be the easiest answer to that.
You had to go with what you had, is what you're saying. You had to go with
basically.
What you had.
And that didn't take me too darn far, to be certain about that. And, you know, once we hang up, I'll think of 10 more great things
sure.
that I could have come up with. But,
yeah,
that's probably good enough.
And if you're a shortstop of the Cardinals today, you'd be making a lot of bling, I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, and back then, I didn't care about the money. I just wanted to play ball.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
I'd come on the cheap, let me put it that way.
Yeah, you'll go for the minimum. Wendell, tell everybody where they can read your work, man.
Todaysu.com. That's just todaysu.com. It's a fairly new website. They've been up and running for about a year and a half. There's a lot of content. They've got a number of writers around the country that write about everything and anything. I'm kind of the guy that takes care of most of the Big 12 stuff, but they've got some other writers that write about the Big 12 as well. So it's just todaysu.com, and there's a lot of content. It's a unique website because they basically just write stories. There's not a lot of video. There's not a lot of, you know, anything else. It's just a website with a lot of stories. I know people don't like to read, but people out there that do like to read, please go look at the site.
That sounds good. Wendell, you're the best. We appreciate the time as always, and we'll talk to you later this season probably, all right?
You got it.
Take care.
Take care.
Wendell Barnhouse, todaysu.com. Check him out online.